God has called us to make a difference in the duration of our stay here on planet Earth. And we're going to look at some of those things this morning as we go into this morning's message. But I just want to recap a little on what we've already done over the previous 3 weeks, starting with the main scripture, again, Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. I think it's coming on the screen. From Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And from that passage of scripture, we really felt God was speaking to us, to getting our attention on it, about four things that's very, very important moving forward in the vision in the life of the church. And we've all been looking at that over the previous 3 weeks, to know God, get free, find purpose. And this morning is to make a difference. Thank you. So just to briefly recap, know God. We showed that with the four chalices, the four cups that the Jews would take of a drink of each one on the Passover meal. The first one was the cup of sanctification, representing God's promise of salvation. Knowing God is so important for Christians in our life journey. If we're going to be strong, we need to draw close to God. If we're going to be weak, we would drift away. And it's not God's intention that we drift away. In fact, the Apostle Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 10. He says, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So the Apostle Paul had an hunger and a thirsting to draw close to God, that he would know him. And in turn, he would know that power of the Holy Spirit working through him, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Knowing God, Sunday services are a key to this. In the Sunday service, we have a celebration. We encounter, there's encountering, there's empowering, and there's equipping. Along with serving teams and ministry teams, it's very important, all together working under God, and because we desire to serve him and know him better. And Rose spoke on that a few weeks ago. She said a lot more than that, but I'm just reminding them just certain points that's been spoken on in the last few weeks. Janice spoke on get free. She showed us the four silver chalices with the one that she spoke about, the cup of deliverance, which is God's promise. It represents God's promise of freedom. And the key to getting free is knowing who you're journeying with, who you're doing life with, who are we associating with. Are we associating with the Holy Spirit and his influences? Or are we just doing our own thing? Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I find that very interesting, because sometimes we just quote, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. But Jesus, a few verses before that passage of scripture, talks about his disciples. If you are my disciples, and you know, you abide in my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that is very, very important, an important key. If we want to be free, if there's things that's holding us in captivity, let's endeavor to be disciples of Jesus Christ and obey his teachings, because Jesus said, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We also have ministries in the church like Freedom in Christ and Sozo and other things that if you don't know much about those things, if you want to ask Janice or myself, Ben and Rose will give you more information what happens in those. But the ministries that help people get set free from things that may be holding them in captivity or maybe they're struggling in an area of life, the great ministries, and we've seen people set free when they've sat under those ministries. Ben spoke last week on finding purpose, the third cup, the cup of redemption, God's promise of restoration. We heard Ben's, if he was here last week, Ben's car story, which Peter Lomas loved. I was talking to him after it. He said in his story, he was on about a car that's a bit your car, a car that you love, and it's battered, and maybe it's in the scrapyard, and you just want it restored. You want it to look like brand new again. And if you know anyone who's in the restoration business, they can actually do something to bring something that's battered back to its former glory. And that's what Jesus Christ does. He is the one who restores our soul. When we come to him, he is able to restore us, revive us, and give us a new future, and give us a purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "You are God's masterpiece." And that scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 10, always reminds me of the Michelangelo story. When he went into a stonemason's yard because he was looking for a slab to do a carving, a new carving. And he said to the stonemason, "I want that piece of marble in the corner of your yard." And the stonemason said, "No, Michelangelo." He said, "Well, I've got better things than that. Look, it's got hairline cracks. It's not the best piece of marble. Come over here. I've got some really good ones." And Michelangelo said, "No, well, I see an angel in that piece of marble. I want that one." Although it was imperfect, he did an incredible job in transforming that damaged piece of marble into something that is still inside a church today. It's actually outside a church in Bologna, Italy. They still have it, that wonderful masterpiece that Michelangelo did out of a piece of damaged marble. And God is able to do that in you and I. He can actually take us damaged, hurting, broken, and he can create a masterpiece within us as he restores us, as he goes to work in our life. And we've heard many, many wonderful stories of how Jesus has done that to people. And this morning, the fourth cup, make a difference, the cup of praise, the cup of praise, God's promise of fulfillment. Serving in the house, serving in the church is part of us outworking our purpose. There is great personal satisfaction in knowing why you're on the planet. Not everybody knows what they're doing on planet Earth, apart from living a life and one day you'll die. But knowing that your life is making a difference and making a difference in the plans and purposes of God is a great feeling to have. God has put us on the planet and saved us for a purpose and to make a difference. Don't have if only mindset. If only I had more money. If I only had more skills. If I only had more time, I could do this and that for God. Never put excuses there, because if God is calling us in an area, he will equip us to do that work of ministry he is calling us to do. So let's not be a people, if only I had this, if only I had that, if only I could do this, then I could do this in the service of God. He has called us to make a difference. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says this. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." There we have God speaking to the young man, Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was just blown away when God spoke that to him. Because Jeremiah had been making excuses when God called him. "I'm too young. Who, me? I'm only a youngster." And then God says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Wow. And when we consider that in terms of our own life, God knew us before we were born. Now, in our mind and understanding, that's difficult to understand. But God, the Bible tells us, dwells in eternity, which is not ruled and governed by our time scales on here on earth. That he dwells in the present and he dwells in the future. So we can see ahead in regarding our life even before we were born. And he has put a ministry call on each and every person's life. And he has called us to live a life that makes a difference. and that life that will impact many other people's lives on our life journey. Once again, to achieve these things, the importance of getting to know God, getting free, finding purpose, and making a difference. I want to say that the enemy wants to restrict you, and Jesus wants to release you. I'll say that again. The enemy wants to restrict you, but Jesus wants to release you. We read in John 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Jesus said, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And that's wonderful when we hear the words of Jesus affirming us, saying, I've come and I want to give you life in all its fullness. Sometimes we can allow negative things from our past to burden us, to cripple us. We read something like that in Psalm 38, verse 4 and 6. The psalmist says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought low. Here we have a psalmist. The psalmist, he was struggling. He's burdened. It's a heavy burden. I'm feeling low. I'm brought down because of the weight of the problems upon my shoulders at the moment and in my mind. And sometimes we can be troubled in mind. When a farmer, especially we don't see it too much in our country today, but in a second and third world country, you would certainly see it. When a farmer's trying to train an ox, a young ox, he will yoke it, harness it to an older ox. And they will go down the field, digging the plough, taking the plough, digging a furrow. And when they get to the other side of the field, the young ox has got to follow the older ox because the older ox is stronger, has to turn with it, and they come back down the line, creating another furrow as the farmer wants it to be. And the young ox cannot go where it wants. It's harnessed to the older ox. It has to go where the older ox takes it. Because the older ox is more mature, it's stronger than the younger ox is. And sometimes in life, people can be yoked to things that is not good for them. They can be yoked to drugs. They can be yoked to other kinds of things that is very, very difficult for them to break out of. And they have to go almost where the older ox is taking them. So some people are really, really struggling in life situations, addictions, problems, because they are yoked to something that's taking them down a road they don't want to go down. But they're struggling to resist it. One of the wonderful things about Jesus says this in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you were burdened and ever laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, take my harness upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When we harness ourselves, when we yoke ourselves to Jesus, he's like the stronger ox. He will take us in the right direction. He will help us. He will take that burden off us. He will set us free from some stuff. Where are you in life this morning? What are you yoked to? Do you need setting free? Do you need to put your yoke, your harness, attached to Jesus? Because if we do, we will recognize that he is the one who will set us free, who will carry our burdens, who will give us rest, who will help us and direct us in life situations. So as I said, sometimes we allow negative things from our past to burden and cripple us, and things present can burden and cripple us. But Jesus is the one who sets us free. Do we need to draw close to him this morning? Sometimes we let culture define us. Galatians 1 verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's the Apostle Paul. Romans 12 verse 2. Once again, don't let culture define the culture we live in around us. Don't let it define who we are. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God to our life and situations. Another scripture, Numbers 14. God speaking here, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Wow. Because he had a different spirit. He wasn't going with a culture of what other people were saying. He was knew who he was as a man of God. And God was honoring him here because God is saying, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, I will honor him and his descendants will be blessed and shall inherit the land. And that's what we want to do in a spiritual context. We want to inherit the land of New Mills and wider area in the High Peak. Because God loves lost people. God loves the hurting and the broken. God loves the people who are in trouble. God loves the people who don't have a clue who he is. And God works through his people. And he has called us to make a difference. Amen. So Caleb, God says he has a different spirit. We want to be people with a different spirit to the world, a different spirit to negativity. We want to have a positive, faithful spirit. God loves that, because when God sees that, we see stories in the Bible, people operating like that. He cannot help but and resist. He can't resist to get involved, to help those people who are making a difference for the kingdom of God. Let's be a people of faith, a people of expectancy, people who want to build a great church of influence. People who are in the church have a culture, that a great culture, that our descendants will inherit. Another point about making a difference, something that doesn't work, and some Christians go this direction. Some Christians try to do it alone. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 8 says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Don't let the enemy of our souls, the devil, trick and trap you into thinking, as Christians, we can do this thing on our own. We will never achieve our potential in God and fulfill God's promises if we are loosely attached to a church or we decide to go it alone. God places his people in a church, in church family. Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14 says this. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, not those who are placed, because if you're placed, you can just say, I'm not coming again. I've had enough. Such a body's upset me. So, guess what? It's not worth it. It's not worth being in the church. I'm going. I'm finding another church where I'm not bothering because you've upset me. You've upset me, so I'm not coming again. I am placed. So I leave. I go out the door. I could slam the door behind me for effect if you want me to. Does anybody want me to slam the door? Okay. For the people in the benefit who may be listening to this message, they don't want, the congregation does not want me to slam the door. But if I'm placed in the house, if I am planted in those, so people get stroppy and leave. Oh, it's not worth it. I'll do this thing on my own. But if I'm planted in the house of the Lord, I am not going anywhere. So if you upset me, I'm still here next week. Because God has planted me in this house, this family. I need to work through some stuff that I may be struggling with, or some stuff with relationships I might be struggling with. Not going out the door, I need to work through it. And God will give grace. God loves that because he plants people in his house to make a difference in kingdom of God business. So if I am planted, the Bible says we will flourish. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So me at the age, Jason, of 127, the Bible says I shall still be fresh and flourishing. But to make a difference, I just want to appeal to anybody who may be thinking, you know what? I'll go to church once a month. That's not good enough. In God's eyes, that's not good enough. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's in the context, some of it's in the context of the church where he's planted us. And we need to work together and see the Spirit of God working in us and through us and start to see a real difference in our community when the Spirit of God goes to work where there is unity. God commands the blessing. Amen. God commands the blessing. So we don't walk out on a church and say, I'm leaving because I'm fed up or I don't like Joe Bloggs and they don't like me. I had an argument with Susan last week, so I'm not coming again. We don't do that. Children do that. We are planted in the house of the Lord. We are gracious people. We are people of unity. We're people of reconciliation. We seek to put rights wrong. So if I've upset you, like, I want to come to you and say, I apologize the week after. I'm sorry for being this, that, and the other. I didn't know I'd upset you. I apologize. We've got to keep the spirit of unity because the enemy, the devil, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can mess a church life up, he will mess it up because he does not want God's people to fulfill the potential in God. He knows what damage God's people can do to his kingdom of darkness. So let's keep the unity. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. Jesus loved his church so much that he gave his life for his church. That's what it says in Ephesians 5 verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the body. The church is like a human body and every person has a part. Every person has a role in the life of the church. Even the hidden parts that Paul highlights, you can't see, the internal organs are so, so important. So I want to say everybody in this room has a role and a function in the church of Jesus Christ. And if we will flow with the Lord, he will bless our life and bless it abundantly. God's promise of fulfillment. Let's move on. How we can truly make a difference. We must choose. Joshua 24 verse 15, God speaks to him and says, choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. In Genesis 6 verse 7, he says, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Romans chapter 6 verse 15 and 16 says this. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Let's be a people who choose life and choose righteous living. In regards to our call, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says this, God saved us and then called us to his holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. And we were singing about God's grace this morning. It's incredible. It's amazing that God chose you before you were born. God chose you and I, a sovereign act of his grace, and brought us into his family, the family of God. And it's incredible when we see the grace of God, the love of God, that he chose us and appointed us all by his love and a sovereign act of his grace. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? That is an incredible thing that God called us out of darkness into his wonderful, marvelous kingdom of light. And as a result, we can show others the goodness of God. Question, do we want to make a difference or are we happy to live an average, self-centered life? It's not God's plan that we should live an average self-centered life. He has called us to make a difference in the world and the world around us. Our calling stands on a course. Acts 20 verse 24 says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. We sometimes sing a song here in church. We sing a song, "We are living for your glory." We sing it regular. We are living for your glory. How we living for the cause of Jesus Christ. It also spreads from me to we with people who want to make a difference. That's one of our keys again in the church. We want to make a difference. Just a few examples of the importance of serving on team. Now I'm just going to give a few examples of serving on team, why it's so important. We need teams. We don't go solo. We don't to do ourselves. We don't work on our own. Well, we sometimes do. But do you know what I mean? We just don't go off and do our own thing. But team, the we, is very, very important. Teamwork. The job club. I'm just giving some interest in them. There's tremendous things. Thank you for the job club team. Sally is usually with us. Sally became a Christian about 6 weeks ago. She's usually here. She comes to the midweek things. Has come through the job club. Thank you, job club team. Working together to make this happen. Fiona and Philip, they and Amber, stay and play. Philip was telling me, I asked Philip, you know, what made you come to church? It's because Fiona came to stay and play, and he was so impressed and loved it, they decided a few weeks later, let's go to that church. Thank you, stay and play team. Thank you, team that went up to, the team that went up to Eiley Park last week at the One World Festival. We've got David sat with us for the second time, and we met at the One World Festival. So thank you, team. There are lots of teams, the Fuse team, the pastoral team, the kids team, the people who work, the team that work behind the scenes, the welcome team, the coffee team, the kids workers. Thank you, teams. You are making a difference and a significant difference. So we thank you. We don't do it as individuals. We work together as team, and the Holy Spirit works with team when he sees that we really, really want to make a difference. We really want to be about God's kingdom business. Open the book team, another team making a tremendous difference in the primary schools, and sowing seeds that will only be seen, the fruit of it will be seen in the months and years to come. It's teamwork. As we work in unity as a team, we're going to make a difference. The kingdom of God will be expanded in this area, and God will get all the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we'll see God do some exciting things in our midst, because God loves people. He wants to see people in his kingdom. He wants people to hear the truth of the good news of the gospel. Jesus has saved us and commissioned us to make a difference. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 20. It says this: "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." I remember having that experience. It's tremendous. "And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given to us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." We are Christ's ambassadors. That is a very, very high calling. You know, we can't go down there. You went down to the job centre tomorrow in Buxton, and you said, "Have any jobs going for ambassadors?" I think they might snigger at you, because they just don't give jobs like that out to anybody. It's a special commission by a special trained people who have been given a tremendous responsibility to be an ambassador for a company, ambassador for a nation, ambassador for royalty, and they go certain parts of the world representing the organization. And Jesus said, this is what the Bible says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Wow, that is a tremendous privilege, tremendous honor, a tremendous responsibility. Do we recognize that we've got a very high calling? And John 15, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Wow. John 15, verse 16, in the Passion Version says this. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit, and that your fruit would last." Ambassadors for Christ, impacting people's lives. You know, sometimes we can be put off talking to people about God or giving someone an invite to a church-related event because we can be disheartened when we've spoken to somebody and they've turned around and said, "I'm not interested in that. I don't want you talking to me about that." It can put people off. But I tell you what, we need to press on, because most people need at least 5 exposures to the gospel of Jesus before they respond, before the breakthrough comes. So I want to encourage you, let's take the opportunities in conversation to say something about God, or invite someone around for a coffee, text someone out for a coffee, get to know people. And in the course of conversation, God will open a door in that conversation, because we prayed before, where we can bring something of God into that conversation, because God loves lost people. We need to sow seeds even when we cannot see the results firsthand, because we never know what is going on under the surface. So don't hold back and say, "I can't do that because I can't take rejection." We are filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be ambassadors. The Bible says a faithful ambassador brings health. We are handling the words of life. The book of Acts says we are handling the words of life. And people need to hear the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ, because lots and lots of people have never heard it. What a tremendous privilege, what a tremendous responsibility as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So we're going to put something on the screen here about John Wesley. And I'm going to, let's just read this. John Wesley. Actually, John Wesley preached at least twice in this church building. Now, this is just a couple of weeks in the life of John Wesley's diary, his journal. And let's have a look at it. If you're talking about some, if I talk to my neighbor up the road, they might reject me and I'm going to be hurt. And let's see what happened with this guy. A page from John Wesley's diary in the late 1700s. "Sunday morning, May the 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday, May the 5th, p.m., preached at St. John's. Deacon said, 'Get out and stay out.'" This is churches. "Sunday, May the 12th, a.m., preached at St. Jude's." I can't go back there either. "Sunday, May the 12th, p.m., preached at St. George's. Kicked out again. 19th of May, Sunday morning, preached at St. Somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday the 19th p.m. preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday, May 26 a.m. I preached in the meadow, chased out of meadow as a bull was turned loose during the service." He's not having a good time, is he? Hey, but he's made a bouncy back stuff. He's determined, this guy. "I am carrying the message of God. I'm battling through. I'm not going to be overwhelmed with rejection. Sunday a.m., June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon service, preached in pasture. 10,000 people came to hear me." Wow. Now, the perseverance, this guy knew, "I'm carrying the truth. This is the true gospel. This is the message of salvation. I need to carry it and I need to deliver it and not be put off by somebody saying, 'Go away. I don't want to listen to that.'" He pressed through. He knew this, handling the words of life. The most important message on this planet is the gospel, the salvation in no other name other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. Sometimes the things we perceive as failures are actually the steps to breakthrough. Sometimes the things we perceive to be failures are actually the steps to breakthrough. Amen. What a great man he was. That gives me encouragement. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep telling people about Jesus, because they need to hear the words of life. Okay, we've nearly finished. We're going to bring this to a conclusion. Be encouraged and let's be faithful ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." We are living in a time when there is much brokenness, hurt, rejection. We need to bring the love of God as a church and the message of hope and salvation into people's worlds. As we pray and talk to God about it, God will lead us on how to bring that message to people that he wants us to speak to. You know, I very often speak to God in the morning and I say something like, "Lord, who do you want me to connect with today?" I've said this before, but I do it. God always connects me with somebody. Who do you want me to have a conversation with today? God, if you make it happen, I'm up for it. And the amount of times I'll be in turn, I'll bump into somebody, we get a conversation going. It could be about anything. It could be about the workplace. It could be about the holidays. It could be about something that's going tough in the life. And a window will happen in that conversation when I can bring God into that conversation. And after the conversation, I said, "Thank you, God. You organized that. Thank you so much." So if we are sincere and praying prayers like that, God will arrange people that he wants us to have a conversation with. It could be somebody who just wants us to connect with and have a normal conversation with, then have a coffee or something, or bump into them at a later time. But let's be intentional. Let us be intentional. As a church, we want everyone out working the purpose and in a position to serve. As part of this incredible team making an eternal difference, we want everyone to serve on team. It's very important. Making a difference together. Serving on team. The church, this community needs a thriving church. As I said a few weeks ago, when we took over of Roy and Brenda Taylor, the pastor of this church, God spoke to us and said, "This church is vital for this community." Vital means a matter of life and death in terms of spiritual terms, and we are very aware of that we need to work together. I think people recognize we're in a new season where God is doing things. There's some exciting things in store. As we work together, we are going to make a difference. We are going to make a difference in people's lives. We're going to make a difference in this church. We're going to make a difference in the community. And we're going to make a difference wherever God calls or sends us. Because we're working together with God about his kingdom business. So choose to make a difference today. Do something about it. Join a team that makes a difference. If you aren't already serving in the house, we have a great Sunday coming up on the 28th of July, which will give people an opportunity to chat with leaders, learn a bit more, and register your interest. Stick it in your diary. Sunday the 28th of July is Serving Sunday. There'll be people from after the service, different points of ministries, head up ministries. You can go on and talk to them, get some information, what they do. And maybe you go, "Hey, I want to serve on this team. I want to give it a trial on this team." Because we're in this together. God has planted us in the house, the body of Christ, and he wants us to flourish. So let's know God, get free, find purpose, and make a difference. And just before the worship team take over, if there's anybody in here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hey, he's the only Savior. Being religious will not get us into heaven. Jesus said, "If you die in your sins, you will perish. But I have come to give you eternal life." He also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." And it's not about having a religion. It's about a relationship. I'm reminding you of things you know. But once again, Jesus came into this world because it was the only way to win mankind's salvation. We could not get reconciled to God on our own merit. We broke the bridge of relationship. Jesus came to restore that bridge. And he went to the cross. It was the only way to pay a debt that we could never pay. We've all got an eternity to face. And God knew under the present circumstances we could never get into his heaven. because of our sin condition. But Jesus paid the price for our sins. He died a very painful death on a cross. His great love for you and I and the world took him through that pain barrier. And he paid the price due for our crimes of sin. What a great Savior. What a great God. And God makes his appeal. If you don't know my Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, you need to ask him into your life. The Bible says we need to repent of our sins. That is, we're living life one direction, doing our thing. We stop and we say, I turn around. God, I want to start living my life in a way that honors and pleases you. Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Today I make this commitment to you of my life. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any woman hears my voice and opens the door of their life, I will come in. But the handle to the door of our life is on the inside. God will not make a forced entry. And God is offering his salvation this morning. So let's just bow our heads. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just say our own prayer for a moment or two. This is a very solemn moment when the Spirit of God is speaking to some people. Salvation is free. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It's free. But we need to invite Jesus into our life and make a commitment to him. If we will, God will make the same commitment to us. He has a plan and a purpose that's incredible. It will kick in the day we invite Jesus into our life. So if you've never invited Jesus into your life, just put your hand up and down, and I'll see it. No embarrassment. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to know Jesus more than you do, or you want to invite him into your life, just give me a quick signal. Just give me a quick signal. Okay. Let's just pray. Jesus, thank you that you make such a difference when we invite you into our life. You are the Lord who brings transformation. And I pray for your people here this morning, Lord. I pray that you will minister to them. You love each one. You've got a plan and a purpose for every person and for us corporately as a church. Lord, we want to know you. We want to get free. We want to find purpose. We want to make a difference. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to everyone in this place this morning. Lord, I pray they'll experience your touch upon their lives. I pray you'll encourage and inspire us as a church, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.